Hi, it's Alice here. Welcome to episode 57 of Role Plus Pod, Boss Babes and Bureaucracy. Today I thought it would be interesting to have a piece of internal monologue from Amaranth during her time chilling in the big tree in the courtyard. To set the scene a little, Amaranth storms away from the rest of her party and finds a large oak tree tucked away into the corner of the courtyard. She deftly climbs it before laying across one of the boughs and looks up at the sky, arms crossed around her chest. Don't look at me like that, Bartholomew. Yes, I saw the look on her face, okay? I know I hurt her. You don't need to stare at me like I'm a monster, I know. It's just that she deserves so much better than to serve Kendra. She should be out exploring the world and meeting people and learning who she is. I just don't understand why she'd choose to run errands for the rest of her life. I mean, I guess that's not completely true. She could still do all of those other things, as well as serving Kendra, maybe. She'd be safer for it too. She's so scared of death, really. I don't think I've done a good enough job of keeping her out of harm's way, either. How many times has she nearly died in my company now? I mean, one's too many, but it's been at least three, surely. If she did die, would I survive that, either? I mean, Darris's death nearly ruined me. If Lunamote died, would I be able to carry her tiny body back to her parents and face their wailing, all whilst knowing it was my fault she stayed and I'd failed her again? Because I will fail her again and again and again. If she comes, I haven't been keeping her out of harm's way. No. She should be happy and safe. I just wish that I could have done a better job and that she wasn't so frightened to experience the world as it is. Shit. What's that? Oh, hang on. No, that's just Emmeline. Damn, their footsteps are so loud. I should probably let them know at some point. That's not very good. Amaranth shuffles on a branch and stares into the darkness ahead, awaiting Evelyn's arrival. I hope you enjoyed that insight into what Amaranth was thinking and feeling during that time. And without any further delays, please enjoy the episode.
On this week's Role Plus Pod, the party deal with the consequences of recent days, consequences both painful and official. With Lunamote leaving and strange beasts rampaging through the city, can they make sense of it all and figure out what's going on? Or is it even their responsibility? Even Emlyn is forgetting their own responsibilities.
Yeah, Emlyn just kind of like looks around for a second and goes, oh shit, that's me, alright.
And with responsibility comes increased levels of social awkwardness.
Just gonna make awkward eye contact for a second and then shut the door.
Old habits die hard, and the idea of authority doesn't mesh too well with this group.
I'd rather not get in trouble with the police this early and me coming back.
Apparently when Lunamote left, the short-term memory of the group dropped to a shockingly low level.
It was like 10 minutes ago.
I've already forgotten.
Do none of you take note?
And even after all this time, the group can still be surprised.
Motherfucker.
When sass levels reach critical mass, can the party maintain order before something goes wrong? Can they find a purpose to stay together now their little group is beginning to fracture? Will they ever be able to deal with figures of authority at all? It's time to find out in Role Plus Pod. And we're back with a diminished number.
R.I.P. Lunamote.
Genuinely heartbreak.
It's a transitionary point. We knew it was going to have to happen at some point. At least this wasn't, you know, deadly.
I don't like change. This is supposed to be fantasy, Chris.
You were just hoping it'd be the same group of you forever and ever, amen.
Yes.
Nothing ever changes. Yeah.
Perfect.
It's all good. We've got rid of the dead weight now.
Wow. He is still here. She will kill you.
Wow.
My healer.
I was just trying to lure her into the conversation.
I mean, she might try and kill you. I don't know how when she has no character, but she might still try.
I'll find a way.
Well, if I suddenly disconnect mid-recording, you'll know why.
Then your character Roxy is sassy poltergeist.
Yeah, Avena will be fine. David, on the other hand, might be in danger. But yeah, last week was a little bit of a little bittersweet one, I thought. You've kind of finished dealing with the big thing. Kind of.
The book.
Why are you saying kind of like that?
That sounds so convincing.
Well, because you know, you didn't kill it. Like, it's still alive somewhere, being dragged off by guards.
Not everything has to end in death, Chris. Like,
out of sight, out of mind.
Everything
will
be fine.
Not my problem now.
You're the city's issue. Ha ha.
I mean, but there's a deeper conversation there about the state of permanence of fictional characters when they're no longer observed. Do they even exist?
We can test that theory now with Lunamote, who is obviously no longer with the party and therefore ceases to exist.
Yes.
Gone.
That is my understanding of these things, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And will suddenly possibly re-exist at some point in the future, who knows? But until then, nope, it's like she never existed at all. I've already forgotten her.
Who are we talking about again?
I don't even know. So, no, obviously we had a lovely touching end to the episode of Kendra kind of saying that this particular thing, because I don't know how well you guys remember what's obviously happened, but actually that was the first combat that Kendra had been involved with since Lorimore had come back to the house.
Oh, that's a very good point.
But she's observed other combats, and she didn't really do anything in this one other than get guards.
She was in the background of the troll fight, but she was mostly dealing with Winter in that one, let's be fair. Because you were all like, stay back, deal with Winter, we'll handle this. What is it? We don't know. You know, as is your way. But yeah, that was like, I think... probably it was probably the closest and most uncomfortable she has felt. So at the end of that that danger, she's obviously the one who got the guards in, but she also said to you all that she has been kind of reevaluating some things and has recognized the fragility and dangerous nature of the lives that you guys all lead, and that she needs to kind of step away from that. So she said that she was going to go to spend a few days dealing with some affairs and then go to Caliphas. And there was a bit of a question about whether she would be okay going to Caliphas alone, but obviously she is not alone. Our dear, darling, wonderful halfling oracle, that is Lunamote.
Farewell, adieu.
And those will be the last words we ever hear her say.
Yep.
And then you all went and got drunk, basically. You had some emotional moments. Now, obviously, I know we talked about the fact that during these little recaps, I'm going to be starting to give out some edges, and I really, really want to, but big question here. Am I giving edges to characters or players?
Players, for doing cool shit.
Yeah. We're acting.
Yeah.
We are trying real hard, Chris. We deserve the recognition, not the characters.
Because I've been mulling this over all week. I've been trying to figure it out because it's kind of like a, you know, like, obviously the reason why this has come up is because so much of me wants to give Roxy an edge for the fantastic way I think you've played that, like, dilemma in Lunamote of what to do and how she interacts and how she feels, all these things that she's now having to confront in her life. But obviously I want to give that edge to Lunamote for doing so well, and Lunamote's not here anymore, so it's like...
Right, but what is Lunamote if not a manifestation of me?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I'm woo-hoo! Not going to be a horrible, horrible human being. I am going to be giving an edge to Roxy.
Hell yeah!
For use in about 3-4 months' time when we finally introduce a new character for you, because there's no rush.
Yeah, no, I'm like constantly hovered over the mute button.
It's like, you don't need me now, bye.
Yeah, I've got popcorn on side. I'm just going to sit here as an advanced listener.
I just start cracking open the bottles of wine. You don't need to be with it anymore. Just have fun. So you went out for drinks, probably got very wasted. I believe we talked a little bit off air and you decided that you're going to stay in the university overnight, partly as a kind of a let the celebrations carry on into the night with Lunamote without having to say goodbye at any point, so to speak. Obviously, dear Emlyn has their own rooms. Kendra has her own room. So you've got multiple different places that you can choose to stay. Are you, one final decision for dear Lunamote, would you be staying in Kendra's or would you be staying in with Emlyn? This final night.
Oh God, I feel like this makes a decision on all the people that ship things.
and we know they exist.
I think...
Oh, there are many ships and they are all sailing.
Oh, goodness.
Good God.
Don't overthink it. Go with
Emlyn will have invited everyone back to theirs. So.
I'm hanging out with Emlyn.
Okay. So in which case we'll say the four of you are in Emlyn's. It's like it's because it's a permanent residence for the faculty of the university. It's pretty decent, actually. It's quite nice. It's like so there's like a main sitting room area. There's obviously no kitchen because obviously there everything would be catered on site. But there is there is one small kind of study room as well as then a main bedroom. But there's enough furniture that depending on the various levels of inebriated you get to, you can find somewhere to crash. That's not a problem. You've roughed it out worse than that. Yes, you are. You get back to the residence, all fall asleep in the various places that you do, and then the morning comes. You all awaken. Lunamote, you would know. Kendra would be expecting you not ridiculous early, but fairly early in the morning. Is anything you wanted to do before?
No, I think with a hug to each of them, and I would pass off my scrolls to Avena. But other than that, I would then give them all a hug, get them to promise they'll write, and then make my way. Gotta get used to being this keeper.
So, if you're going to be passing off the scrolls, I may as well go through them just to remind David what Avena now has, which is a scroll of hypnotism, a scroll of cure light wounds, a scroll of disguise self, a scroll of lesser restoration.
Cool. Thank you.
One final question on my part, actually, that I've only just noticed. Is Lunamote keeping the dagger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a gift.
Yeah, that is fair. That is fair. I just wanted to check.
As if there was any doubt, Chris, what is Lunamote without a dagger?
That is very
exactly
true.
Like it's a dagger I got in return for sinking the dagger into one of the werewolves that ran. No, the troll that ran off the werewolf.
No,
spider.
Spider.
Oh, the spider. Sorry.
Yeah. One of the many things I snapped.
Yeah, no, she's going to take the dagger. She's not going to worry about Hawkrin's medal either. And yeah, she's just going to hug them all and get them to promise to write.
With that, she heads off to go and help Kendra with the last few preparations before. They're not sure whether you're going to depart today or tomorrow, but you know it's going to be very quick leaving the city and heading to Caliphas. Only because it's the beginning of the week, you know that there are trade caravans leaving, because it's quite early in the month as well, that will be heading towards Caliphas, and it'd be the safest journey for you. Lunamote kind of leaves. You have some time, the three of you, to kind of prepare for the day. But before you can make any real decisions about what you want to do with the day and what your plans are, while you're kind of recovering a little bit from your night, you're not massively hungover. I think you were all well versed enough on what your limits are, and some of you recognize you probably don't have limits. But you do, after about maybe 20 minutes after Lunamote has left, there is a very confident knocking.
I will go over and answer.
Yeah, it's your room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that everyone waiting on Emlyn. Emlyn's like, oh,
yeah,
no.
And then just kind of like looks around for a second and then goes, oh shit, that's me. All right.
so you answer the door. There is a I mean, he's wearing similar colors to the guards you saw the night before, but he's not wearing, he's just wearing like a leather kind of jerkin armor, but no, there's nothing metal. It's quite simple. He looks a bit more like if you had to guess, maybe like a courier of some kind. Like, he looks official, but it's been a while since you've been in the city. You don't quite remember all the various different uniforms that different parts of the city governmental functions tend to wear. You just know that he's not guard, but somewhere guard adjacent, maybe. And as you kind of like take in this image, he's quite a young lad, maybe 17, 18 at the most. And he kind of looks, Professor Jones?
Yes, can I help you?
I've been sent to ask you to the courthouse. You were involved in the altercation last night.
Right. Okay. And who am I being summoned for?
Oh, just Chief Guardian.
Is that a name I recognise?
Give me a knowledge local.
I believe I am. Yes, I am. That's a 16.
So you vaguely remember recognize the name Chief Guardian, although she wasn't a chief last time you were in the city, so she sounds like maybe a relatively new promotion. But you recognize the name as being a bit of an up and coming member within the legal system and the judicial system of Leopardstad. You only know it because you've seen the name on. As someone who has audited a number of different classes within the university, particularly on kind of like criminology and some sociology and a little bit of history, which is where the crossover has come and where you recognize the name. But you've never met them. You've never met her at all.
Okay. Has he got like anything with him that he's handing over, or is it just like a verbal message he's given?
He doesn't seem to... be carrying anything. He's kind of got his hands like quite formally behind his back.
All right, is there a specific time?
She just said to come as soon as I could get you.
All right. And the courthouse, you said? Yes.
Yes, the Leopardstad courthouse. She said it's just for some questions about the incident.
All right. I know my way there. Unless you need to escort, or
I can wait for you.
There'll be no need. Thank you.
He looks a little unsure at first, but does kind of take a step back.
Do I get the impression that he's not going away?
You get the impression more that he's kind of taking your... He's not going to push you, but he's also not sure if he can just go yet. It's more that he's just not really sure how to handle it.
Okay, just going to make awkward eye contact for a second and then shut the door.
Okay. you do kind of, as you kind of close the door, he does look like, in films where people go like slightly lean as if they're still trying to look through the gap. He does kind of like lean to one side for a bit, but then as the door closes, you hear footsteps and he seems to be walking away.
Okay.
Who was it?
Turn around to the others. We need to go talk to people about last night, apparently. Well, I do at least. Don't know if you guys want to come.
Were we summoned?
I don't think so. I mean, if you guys want to do whatever you want to do. Courthouse is where we're going to take that last book anyway, so.
Yeah, you're probably right, although I was hoping to go without that level of scrutiny quite so quickly as getting to town, but I guess that's just our luck.
Yeah, I mean, we've got it to deliver the book, but if we could do it with, like, as minimal interaction with the courts as possible, it just gives a weird kind of... I don't know, I don't really like it.
That's fair. I mean, I got rid of our escort, at least, so...
Escort?
Oh, the guy who delivered the message, I got the impression he was looking to escort us, but...
Gross.
Nah.
Since he could have done anything anyway.
Yeah,
if we wanted to leave, we just leave.
He looked like he was 12 anyway.
You antisocial people, how dare you? I genuinely for a second thought that, Alice, you were going to say, I don't want to be around people. But you said the courts, and I was like, the people would be accurate too, though.
Literally, I don't want to be in a stinky city.
Excuse you.
Excuse me, what's...
I'm sure that your staff has a perfectly good sewerage system.
I was a hobo in the woods for 6 years. I am not used to this.
Ah, Amarantha, this is a street.
This is a lamp.
She's a ranger, she's not an aerial.
Although I now really want to hear Amaranth perform part of this world. Part of your world, sorry.
So the courthouse in Selly is only 20 minute, half hour walk max. So on the map of Leopardstadt, which you should all still have access to, the courthouse is literally right here. It is that building right there. So this is directly north of the university. There is a kind of open plaza area with a fountain in the middle. And on the north side of that is the Leopardstadt courthouse itself.
I mean, I presume we've got time to, you know, get ready and like have something to eat, because I wasn't too heavy last night, but I'm still feeling a little bit, I don't know, ginger.
I mean, yeah, you've got time to do food and whatever, or any other preparations you want as well. You haven't been given he didn't give you a specific time you needed to be there, but...
What if we just didn't go?
I mean, not to sound like that person, but it would be nice to get paid for all we've done.
Also, I do live here. I'd rather not get in trouble with the police this early and me coming back.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Do we need to... Are we okay to take our weapons? Because I'm not going without them.
Is Leopardstadt an open carry city?
So the vast majority of cities in Galarian really are... I mean, it's one of those... You can carry your weapons, but issues will come up if you unsheathe your weapons. You don't know what it would be like at the courthouse, which is likely to have kind of different requirements and might be stricter, but the city itself is fine, yeah.
And hey, they might not even recognise Emlyn's gun as a weapon.
I was thinking about my sword.
Oh, they'll know what a sword is.
Just don't get it out and we'll be fine.
Like, that's what they all say going into the courthouse.
I kind of just like rejig it so it's like on my back underneath my cloak.
Okay. And you've just got like a scabbard going up behind your head.
No, you're hiding it in your hair.
So suddenly an incredibly high ponytail you seem to have gone for.
So you've got some time to have some food, get yourself all trussed up and weaponed.
Does this place come with an ensuite, Emlyn?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I mean, there is a washroom with a toilet.
Yeah, I still feel like the dust of the road on me, and I just want to like cleanse.
Yeah, go for it.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna tidy up some of my notes because I didn't realize quite how much of a mess I'd left this in, and there's like notes everywhere.
Oh yeah, there is like an unspoken thing among the cleaning staff here to just leave your room.
Yeah, they know it's.
I'm picturing, you know, Bruce Almighty.
Not personally.
No.
Well, the film. There's a scene where he converts all the prayers he's hearing into post-it notes, and the entire room is just walled in post-it notes. That's what I'm kind of seeing.
I was thinking of my desk at work.
That too.
Emlyn?
Yeah?
Are you planning on staying at the university?
I mean, like until we're done here, or like permanently?
Just... I don't know, I guess none of us has really spoken about what happens after the books are dropped off.
I mean, I've not really thought about it.
Okay.
I mean, not to butt in, but I just kind of assumed, knowing our luck, we'd probably hand the books in and then immediately fall into some other kind of calamity or unfortunate series of events that we'd inevitably have to deal with.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Fair.
Like, you know, honestly, watch it. We'll step out, we'll have gone in, we'll have done the whole conversation, you know, talk to the police, to the policey people, and got the money and handed the book over, and then we'll step out into the street and then suddenly just zombies.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because I feel like that's just how it goes at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't worry, Amarath. I'm probably going to be sticking around for the foreseeable.
I don't know where. At some point, I'm going to have to go back to the Shudder Woods to get my like stuff. I don't know if I'm moving to a different woods.
We can be your woods.
I have money.
I've got enough paper in here to make some woods if you want.
I'll have money. I'll be able to like build a house if I want to, surely. I mean, I don't have to like live in a shed, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
I mean, you could, you know, splurge on like a nice tent.
Oh yeah, tent. That's good.
Get a proper high-end one, you know, multiple rooms. I'm sure they must do them. Like the fancy like, you know, like the fancy like fair tent things.
No, my luck though. The second I put that up in Shudder Woods, a werewolf is just gonna slam right into that and shred it.
And that's why you get it inlaid with silver thread.
Good idea. Okay.
I think. Yeah, I presume that would work.
I don't know. I don't know anything about werewolves. I guess if everyone's ready, we should go deliver that book and speak to that court person.
Daramond.
No, the one who summoned Emlyn.
Oh, that one.
Oh, yeah.
Whose name I don't know.
I've already forgotten.
It was like 10 minutes ago.
I've already forgotten.
Do none of you take notes?
No.
That information was not relevant, so it was deleted from my brain.
Yep. Not relevant? You're about to go and meet her.
Lunamote did, but she's not there. She always took notes.
See, I already miss her. Well, you'll just have to find out because you were told. You were told multiple times.
All right, so,
you're heading to the courthouse.
Yeah. Soak in some of the air.
So, I mean, this side of Lebistad is more well-to-do. There are some very, very nice examples of the architecture, quite wide open streets. There's a lot of greenery. That things are well-kept, this side of Lebistad. You make your way up to the kind of central plaza, and the buildings are like two or three stories high by the time you get there, which is, there are bigger and grander buildings in Caliphas, but this is quite well to do, quite built up, very gentrified in a lot of ways. And the courthouse itself is, like I say, is on the northern side of this plaza, and it is this it's kind of a large squat building, really, but it's dominated by this this enormous clock that kind of overlooks the town square, and a huge figure of wood, roughly man shaped, stands about 30 or 40 feet in front of the building. There is kind of like a it seems to be there is a side entrance to the building, but the doors that side are closed. Whereas the front of the building, there are some doors that go kind of straight in, and those ones are open.
I'll head on in.
Once more onto the breach.
Okay, so going into like the main building, there is there's like a kind of a small. Just outside the main door, there is like a pillared section with like a balcony above, and then you go through the main doors, and there is a trap door on the far left side of this kind of like entrance foyer, and there is a door on your right hand side, and then just on the inside of the door there is a table with a woman sitting behind it wearing like these kind of like thick rimmed glasses, hair tied up into kind of like a messy bun, like pure like white and grey hair, wizened kind of looking face. And she's kind of like hunched over the paper, barely even notices you as you walk in, just kind of looks up. Yes.
It's Ross.
Kick Emlyn forward.
Professor Emlyn Jones here to see the chief.
Jones, is it?
Yep.
She kind of like looks down at this ledger book she has next to her, and she's looking down. She's, their first name, Professor
Emlyn.
Take a seat. And she kind of gestures through to the door behind on the opposite side of the room from her.
Not the trapdoor, presumably.
No, not the trapdoor. She is on the trapdoor side of the room, and she gestures to the door on the other side of the room.
I get the feeling this woman's name is Roz, somehow.
Actually, it's Gertie.
Fair. Beautiful. Was a sister.
Just as kind of like eye you, waiting all for right. you to leave. Like just over the top of the like the rim of her glasses, just.
I'm gonna turn to the others and just be like, "Can you go speak to Judge Darnamit then?"
Yeah, sure. Yeah. If you're okay dealing with this on your own.
Yeah, that's fine.
I believe you're all expected.
Never mind. Oh. All right.
Okay.
We weren't requested by name.
There's another one. Halfling.
That's not her name.
Ow.
She's dealing with some of her own affairs at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't with us when we received the summons.
Mm-hmm.
And but only we'll be one sure of us to, was actually explicitly summoned.
Okay. I'll make a note. And she does literally like take a scrap piece of parchment, scribble on it. Okay, go away. I'll get the chief. But then she just glares at you again.
All right, cool.
In the kind of silence while she's just glaring at you, you obviously she's talking mostly to Emlyn, but you can kind of see around a little bit. The door behind you actually opens a couple of times during this conversation, and you can see through into it. There are there's multiple small tables and chairs set up. So like, it almost looks a bit like a lounge style area, but like as in like in a country lodge style. So there's like multiple different seating areas all in the same room. And like you can kind of, every time the door opens, you can kind of hear the conversation going on inside. And it seems like while this is the courthouse, this also seems like it functions as almost like the central like guard station as well. So you can hear people speaking with different guards. You can hear different people reporting different things or giving giving statements or picking up relatives that have been held overnight and things like this. So there is a bit of a buzz. This one room that she is in is weirdly quiet, but the room that she's directing you to seems to have a bit more going on.
Cool. We'll head on through.
Okay, so as you go through, there's like three or four of these different kind of like seating areas set up. There's only one that is empty. The others have got like various people sitting around. And I would like, actually, why not the three of you give me some perception?
Sure.
Ugh, gross.
That was a 24.
12.
And that was a 16.
Okay. Amaranth, I mean, partly from your rangery training, but also just from your natural kind of wariness from your time in Lastwall and various other things, you're quite used to taking in a scene quite quickly and getting, like, picking out the bits that are going to be most important to you. That's like a skill that's hardwired in you. And to your evident joy, the table that is free is in a pretty good position where you can kind of see the whole room. But the table directly opposite, on the opposite corner of the room as you go in, and that is kind of close to the door, is there's someone that you recognize there. I say recognize. You've met them. You've known them for a little while, and they've been a couple of days. But you can see, slumped a little bit in her chair, is the monk that you guys fought with. That one time, she's kind of sitting and having she's not saying much, and there's a kind of guard sitting with her that is clearly filling out some kind of paperwork, and she looks unimpressed and also a little bit disengaged. But then there's another table a little bit further away from her where there's this like older man who is like, he's literally like got an arm in a sling and he's got like bandages wrapped around his sides, and he's like kind of shaking. So, and then they came in and I didn't even see how many there were. Giving a report there, and there's quite a bit kind of going on in here, but it is like a weird surprise maybe to see someone that you recognize here. And then there's the table in the corner, which seems to be the only place free, but or you can just kind of stand around. It's up to you guys.
I mean, if that's the space for us.
I point out the monk to the other guys and then give like a slight nod. I'm not sure if she
doesn't seem to have noticed you. She kind of like, she looks a bit checked out. She looks like she's kind of staring into the mid distance a bit. Whether whether she's just checked out or whether she's just contemplative is hard to tell. But then from what you know of her already, that kind of seems to be her general mood sometimes.
Fair enough.
You do notice that she's not wearing the same coloured like uniform that you'd seen her in previously. She's wearing something similar, but it's definitely not the one that matched the other acrobats. Maybe this is her off gear. Who knows? But yeah, so do you guys like seat yourself down in the corner? Do you want to kind of stand around? Do you want to listen in to anyone's conversations?
I'd like to kind of stand around and listen into people's conversations, keep an ear out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll sit down and just observe.
Yeah?
Yeah, take a seat.
Okay. I mean, like I said, there's technically three different conversations going on in this room, but it's you kind of get the impression that this is... This is the kind of the main room where the kind of the more paperworky side of everything happens. This is the easy room for things that can be dealt with on the spot. People paying fines, people collecting like goods that have been seized and are now have been released, and just things like this. So there is even in the few minutes that you're waiting, there are a few other people that come in and out through. There's another door. So there's the door you guys came in on. Came in through, but there's also a door to the direct north, like so on an opposite side, and people kind of keep coming in out of there, and you do see there is a larger space beyond there. You can't pick out a lot, there's nothing massively interesting that seems to be going on here. It's very petty, minor things that are being discussed. But as you're kind of standing and waiting, after a few minutes, the second door opens, and a woman comes through wearing quite a well-constructed a mixture of kind of leather and plate mail chest piece and greaves that kind of go just above the knee and seem like they would give quite a bit of maneuverability and flexibility and freedom of movement. Like, it's very clearly a well-engineered piece of armor that she's wearing. And she's got this this thick, and I mean really thick, and you assume possibly curly normally, brown hair that she's got kind of pulled back into a very tight ponytail behind her. A very almost raven-like features about her face. Very dark eyes and kind of almost a slightly pinched face kind of as she walked into the room. She kind of looks around, sees you in the corner. Yes, with me if you can.
Okay then.
And without even looking to see if you're going to follow, she turns on her heel and practically marches back through the door she just came from and heads directly across this large open space on the other side to another door that seems to go into a small private maybe office of hers.
I throw like a cheeky glance backwards at the door and it's just like filled with longing to leave. And then I turn back and just like trudge.
Give Amaranth a pat on the shoulder. Me too, buddy.
So the room she takes you through to is almost like obsessively neat. Like, it's the complete opposite of Emblin's room in every way possible. Everything is like you can tell just by looking at the shelving unit behind her desk that she has got to have at least three different cross-referenced filing systems on the go. Like, she seems to be incredibly meticulous on detail. And obviously, Emlyn, your vague awareness of her, and because you do recognize quite easily once you walk into the room, there is like a little engraved front of the desk that does have the name Chief Garjin written into it. And from what you were of her, like, she definitely only joined the guards maybe at most 3 or 4 years ago. So to have already been promoted this far, like, she has been on a war path to get here. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of makes sense now you see this room. And she sits directly opposite behind on the side of on her side of the desk. And there are three chairs and also a small stool on the opposite side facing her. And she is straight backed, looking directly at you as you walk into the room. And she looks very prepared for this.
Cool. Gingerly take a seat then.
PhD defense all over again.
Flashbacks to justifying my work. Oh. Do you all three of you say take a seat then? Yeah.
No, I very pointedly do not sit down.
Fair enough.
As you kind of get as those of you who do take a seat, you do notice that the stool is very clearly halfling sized.
Aw.
I appreciate the attempt at equality, would have preferred equity.
I mean, yeah. But yeah, so as you kind of sit down, she leans forward slightly and kind of like glances down, and you can see she has got some sheets of paper very neatly placed on the front of her desk. Well, I see we're one short.
The summons were quite vague, so we didn't know exactly who was needing, who wasn't. So, apologies.
Well, I will be speaking to Edmund. So, my understanding, Professor, that you and your companions here were present at the altercation last night at the university?
Yes, we were.
Would you care to explain to me why you were on presence? I believe, my understanding, you were not expected back for quite some time. You were on administrative leave, or personal leave, I believe, sorry.
Yes, I'd just been to a funeral of a friend and had come back. Had already let the university know I would be returning shortly, but apparently that hasn't been passed on to yourself.
They were vague on the date that you were supposed to be returning. Did you inform them of the date?
I did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, can't be helped, I suppose. Is there a particular reason you returned at this time?
I mean, I do work here, so I had to come back at some point.
Oh no, I fully respect that. I would just... wondering if there was a particular reason that you returned on the 5th, and not another date.
No, just that's just how our journey lined up.
Yes, and your new companions. I'm sorry, our detail is lacking on them. Could you please let me know who you are and your business in town?
Avina, I'm just traveling with my friend, the professor.
I'm Amaranth. And same reason.
Interesting company for the academic. How did you meet?
At the funeral.
Huh. The deceased was a mutual friend, it turns out.
Yes, a Professor Larriman, was it?
Lorimore.
Yeah, that's him.
She does kind of look at the two of you a bit. A little bit unsure. And you do see that she, like, while she's talking, she has got one hand kind of over to one side of her desk, and she's not looking at what she's doing, but she is taking notes on a small piece of paper. And from what you can see, the handwriting's not impeccable, but it's pretty good considering she's not looking. And you decided to just continue traveling following this funeral?
We had some business to settle regarding the will, led us here.
What business would that be?
Returning some items to the university.
Ah. Are you in the habit of taking items from the university?
Not my items. Items that Lorimore, in his will, asked us to return to the university.
I'm sorry, I'm not entirely sure what the relevance this has to last night.
Well, I think you should know very well the relevance. There was an attempted break-in at the university last night.
Yes, and the creature was apprehended, so...
Yes, interesting creature, that.
I'd say. Never seen anything like it.
No? Nothing like it at all?
I mean, it was a stitched-together thing of rotting flesh, so...
Well, not rotting, but...
Got to be a new one for me, that's for sure.
Yes, it definitely seems someone has a purpose.
I suppose. But what does that have to do with... this line of questioning?
It just seems a little coincidental, don't you feel, that a professor of the university who has been away for quite some time returns on the same night that a break-in is attempted? A professor who has returned apparently bearing other items of the university's that were taken from the premises?
Well, life is full of funny little coincidences, don't you think? I mean, coincidentally, we were enjoying a lovely breakfast this morning before being dragged here. To stand before you.
I'm trying really hard not to laugh at that. Yes, coincidence or not, I should let you know that you are currently people of interest in the proceedings against the beast.
Against the what?
Oh, that's what the locals have taken to calling it for quite some time now. It's the Beast of Leopardstart is what
I'm a local, and this is the first I'm hearing of it.
Well, it's only been in the last few weeks, but...
Well, isn't that interesting considering we haven't been here for the last few weeks?
Well, you say that, but wasn't the funeral for Professor Lorimore on the 2nd of Calistril?
We were looking after his daughter.
And you, of course, can account for your time during that, during the last month.
Well, I'm sure if you'd like to write to Ravengrove, there'd be quite a few people willing to say we were there.
Sorry, I'm going to pause just for a second. What's Sir Kendra's actual title? Just so I can be precise on this.
She's not a professor. She's an arcane researchist.
Would that be
So she's not a professor because she doesn't teach, but she is a member of the faculty of the university. She is within the arcane research laboratories.
I was trying to think of a title in order to stress the.
Doesn't have a title.
Researcher.
The professor's daughter is on site at the moment. If you would like to verify our whereabouts, most of it was spent.
Speak to Miss Lorimore again.
So you spoke to her before us?
Yes, I asked her to come in last night to give us a statement after we apprehended the beast. She is the one who gave us the descriptions for your group.
So, just to be clear, because there's a lot of, I don't know. I feel there's a lot of, double speaking here. What are we under? You believe you're under, having us under suspicion of what exactly?
Not under suspicion of anything. You're merely people of interest. You were present at the break-in last night and therefore have information that may be useful in the court proceedings against it.
This is very true. I did get the absolute hell beaten out of me by a creature which was apparently sneaking around under the nose of the entire city guard, if they were apparently familiar of this thing wandering around.
Well, until last night, we didn't actually have any evidence that the beast was real.
I see. So that would explain the incredibly lax lookout for the beast, I suspect.
It's not uncommon for people to blame random happenstances upon creatures of their imagination. Unfortunately, in this instance, it turned out they may possibly have been correct.
I mean, this will be a great thing to go in my journal, honestly. Go to New City and meet some kind of giant monstrosity. I mean, it's novel as tourist attractions go, but I definitely leave an impact.
So you have no prior knowledge of this creature at all or any understanding of its intentions?
Zip.
Obviously not. If I did, I wouldn't have had my skull nearly split in two by it last night.
I mean, we were mostly just going, there was mostly just a case of loud noise and sort of commotion, went to investigate, saw the beast breaking out and making off with some kind of statue that he actually did. I think he dropped as your men apprehended him.
Yes, the sea sage effigy. Yes, cool. Professor Crowell said.
Chris, is that a name of an item that rings a bell to me?
Nope, not in the slightest.
Okay.
Mostly, I think it's...
Incidentally, the statuette seems to have not been recovered.
I mean, that's unfortunate. We pretty much, left the area not so long when your men shepherded us away. I mean, I'll admit, maybe we escalated the situation a little bit, but maybe we're a little on edge because of we'd just been on the road. You know what traveling's like around here. It just gets really you can get a bit on edge sometimes because, there was this ambush with the werewolves and then that giant spider thing. And so, yeah, sorry for the commotion.
It is a terrible shame that your guards were not competent enough to secure evidence. I hope it does turn up eventually.
Well, it's not so much the incompetence of my guards, though. Believe me, there were some aspects of last night that I'm not pleased with. But more that it seems the statuette was recovered and was labelled and recorded as it being recovered, but has not reached us here.
See, that does, to me, sound like guard incompetence.
Or maybe not to cast aspersions, but also possibly foul play. That is a thing that can happen sometimes.
We are looking into these matters. Unfortunately, the creature itself cannot seem to explain its actions, so...
The creature that's comprised of random bits of flesh cannot speak for itself.
I mean...
No, it can speak.
You say that, Amaranth.
It can speak, but it simply cannot explain its actions, and It speaks is of utter uselessness.
I will say there was an odd flash of sentience about it. It did. You'd assume that sort of construct would be more less autonomous. It would just be like given an instruction to fulfill, and you set it going. It did seem to have a I suppose almost emotional reaction when it was surrounded by your men.
That's a very fair point, Avina. And on top of that, I do think it's interesting that we're people of interest when there are far more interesting people at play.
And which people are those?
The apparent speaking hunk of random flesh you have stitched together somewhere.
Which we have in custody, and he is going to be put on trial. We are simply investigating the information surrounding it. You're people of interest. I did not say you were suspects.
Going to be interviewing a creature that you cannot make sense of and putting him on trial. Does that seem fair?
It's not exactly my decision on that. You'd be better off speaking to the justices.
I'm sorry, I have to ask, I'm curious. So the creature can speak, but you can't make sense of its responses. Is that in the sense that it's speaking a language you don't recognize, or it's not able to... its comprehension level is too low?
It is a combination of inability to understand the words it is speaking, but also inability to understand... For those few phrases we do understand, they are complete gibberish. They do not have any meaning that we can discern.
I mean, I know this is kind of probably somewhat improper to suggest, but I do confess this is a kind of weird thing, and I am immensely curious. I do have some familiarity with like a fair number of languages and sort of weird phenomena. I wouldn't mind having a look if there's any insight I could provide you, because
we have on retainer many professors from the university studied in linguistics and various sociologies and psychologies, as well as the arcane arts as well. We are pretty certain that any resources we need, we already have at hand, but thank you.
Well, did you have any further questions?
Not at the moment, though, of course. I should say, we are not, and she looks directly at Amaranth at this point, we are not implying that any of you are involved in the situation, but you must understand the city is in a fervor and we are trying to resolve it. And with limited information, we must do what we can. But I believe I can quite confidently report that you are not under any suspicion. Though, of course, if new evidence comes to light and that changes, you will be the first to know.
Well, I'm sure
second,
we will.
I'd imagine, because probably you'd know first, and then you'd have to come and collect us. Sorry, I'll shut up now.
Yes, I will leave it there for now. I have asked all that I can. I believe you would need to speak to Justice Embrith Daramid. She has requested that you see her after I have cleared you.
Cool. To you direct us. This is kind of a...
Her residence is directly across the plaza.
Ah, cool. Thank you.
Goodbye.
So, can we go?
Yes, you may. But please be aware, we have information you are staying at the university. If we do need you, we will send word there.
Okay.
Sure.
And don't leave town.
Is that an order or a request?
I'm not ordering, but it wouldn't exactly look good for you if you did.
Okay, I'm just starting to pull Amaranth, kind of. Okay, we don't need to get the last word.
She does kind of look down at her paperwork and just like, you know, it's a very subtle motion, like her head just tilts down and she starts looking at the paperwork, but it is very clear she's done now, you are summarily dismissed, kind of thing.
Just, you know, while we're here, can I get a quick psychic reading from her?
Remind me of the specifics of your psychic reading. Here it is. Okay.
You're doing a Columbo. I read the surface level thoughts of a person, take cues from their body language, appearance, other things.
Okay,
I do
so
a sense motive check.
It is a sense motive. So that is with a bonus equal to your caster level. So that's your total level is 4. Yeah.
24.
Okay, so. I will give you some surface thoughts in a moment,
cool.
But you will also get, so you can choose to know her age, her alignment, her class, her feats, her gender, native language, place of origin, race or ethnicity, racial traits, religion, sexual orientation, training in craft, perform or profession.
So I've just realised that like Emlyn's got a built-in gaydar.
Basically, yeah.
Oh my god, I wish you'd get one that was that reliable.
To be fair, there is a 70% chance that I lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh no, 70% chance that you get the information that's correct. 30% chance. Yeah.
I want to know what feet she's got.
What feet she has got?
Yeah, what feet she got?
Two of them. She keeps them in her shoes.
On the end of her legs.
Okay. She has the power attack feet.
Okay.
She has combat reflexes.
Okay. Yep.
And she has improved initiative.
Okay, so she's good at fight. Okay.
Power track.
That makes sense. I wasn't sure if she had any weird brain ones going on. So.
Oh, she does have skill focus as well, actually. She has a skill focus in sense motive.
Oh, of course she does. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
In terms of surface level thoughts, it's very hard. Like you, in a very, very similar way to her office, her brain is just at, like her thoughts are just as ordered and meticulous. So most of what you're getting is kind of like her running through various facts about various cases. Like she's clearly working on multiple ones at once, not just the beast itself. But you do see her kind of going through a couple of the details about the things that you already know, like it was a break-in in the Department of Antiquities, the Seasage effigy, the paperwork's not been, the paperwork's been filed, but the statuette is missing, the beast is in captivity in the basement, things like this, kind of going through.
Beast is in the basement, all right.
Free the beast.
Free him. Yeah.
Okay, and obviously cool. That only takes 6 seconds for you to do, so that's bad.
Yeah, just give her a weird look as we're going.
As you kind of head out, so the main room actually that she walked you through is kind of a mixture of almost like a kind of like a bullpen, but also there are bunks along one wall, so there also seems to be a bit of a guard room as well. You've got the door then directly opposite you again that goes back into that kind of like waiting area bit.
Which room was the monk person in?
The kind of waiting roomy bit. So kind of on your way out.
Okay. As we go back through that, is she still there?
She is. She's in the exact same position, and the guard kind of opposite is he's finished doing the paperwork, and he's kind of sitting there like, if you can't pay the fine, you'll be going back in cell. If you can't pay, can you understand me? If you don't pay the fine, you're going back in cell.
I'm gonna walk up behind.
Excuse me, officer. What trouble has she got into?
Oh, it's just drunk and disorderly, but she's not paying fine.
How much is the fine?
Oh, 15 gold.
Chuck it on the desk.
And you are?
Oh, she's a friend.
Yeah.
No, who are you?
Professor Emlyn Jones.
Okay, and you do see that, like, he immediately then, like, scratches out one of them part of the form and then puts Professor Emlyn Jones underneath. Need address of residence.
University of Leopardstadt.
That's what I'm here, Professor. Makes sense. Okay. I'll go take a copy of this and you see him pull out of his pocket like a small... It's like a thin metal rod that is almost exactly the width of the parchment. And then he kind of like pats around looking for something. I need a blank bit. Oh, let me get some more parchment. Back in a minute. I'll give you a copy.
I've got some.
Okay. Yeah. And he takes it off you. And you see him kind of like he rolls the rod over the piece that he's written. And then again over the piece that you've given him. And ink kind of bleeds through from almost like the back of the paper to create an exact duplicate of the paperwork for your records, I assume.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Great. You can go now. And he kind of stands up and he's like pulling together bits of paper and he walks off into the main room that you've just come from.
Damn it. I wanted to ask him where he got that thing from. That was really cool.
And once he's walked off, you do see the monk sort of roll her shoulders, stand up for a second, and then turn to the three of you like, thank you so much for that. I could have handled it, but I do appreciate the help.
Motherfucker.
And that is where we're going to leave it this week.
Yeah.
we have had this plan for so long.
Welcome to my monk.
Hey. I fucking knew it from the second we walked in there and the monk was sat there. I was like, oh, motherfucker.
There she is.
I legitimately didn't actually see that coming. Fair
really?
Enough.
Oh, wow.
I just want to look back because we have found we've had this plan now since
it would be
episode 44, I think.
Something like that.
Episode 44, 13 whole episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
So welcome back to the party.
Hey, thanks. It's been really hard to keep my sass inside and not have a character to channel it through. But you know what? Alice, you had me today. You channeled that sass.
Alice, savage.
But I will say as well, there is a playlist that will be on the Instagram as well for this new character if you want to check her out a bit more.
Yeah, so just a reminder for those, just because there was only brief interactions, but this is the acrobat... kind of dark reddish skinned woman who was very secretive, very quiet, until obviously you had her as a brief fighting companion.
Foreshadowing.
Against the werewolves. Ooh. Yeah. We did a bit of a hint at what she might be capable of, but we barely actually scratched the surface of what she's capable of. There is a whole mess of crazy in here.
So are we gonna have to sit you down and do the traditional like icebreaker?
I don't know. We'll see you next episode.
Yes. Very exciting stuff.
Yay!
Our intro music is The Descent by Kevin MacLeod. Our outro music is Unpromised by Kevin MacLeod. Find more of his music by visiting incompetech.filmmusic.io. The other music in this episode was provided by Sirenscape, providers of epic sound effects, ambience, and background music for tabletop RPGs. Visit sirenscape.com for more information. The Pathfinder role-playing game and the Carrion Crown Adventure Path are owned by Paizo Inc. and are used under Paizo's community use policy. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo and the Pathfinder role-playing game, visit paizo.com.